In this episode, episode 89 of The Daily Hustle, we talk about crisis communication, being dominoes, and not being united. Also, we talk about Fight Club on a plane.
Broadcasting from the Box That Rocks and Thrive15.com world headquarters, it's The Daily Hustle with Daniel McKenna.
Going on, ladies and gentlemen, it is episode 89 of the Daily Hustle Show. To my left, Marshall F. Morris. Hey, Marshall.
Hello.
Over here, Daniel McKenna. We are talking about today crisis communication and being dominoes instead of being United Airlines. Sam thinks that's funny already.
I don't know that we've gotten to the humor portion of the episode yet.
But I appreciate it. I appreciate it from Sam. Makes me feel good, you know? Marshall, episode 89 here, creeping up on the century mark.
Creeping
up there. Marshall, when I say Domino's pizza, what does it make you think of?
Lunch.
Quick, easy. I like it. Smart.
Yeah.
When I say United Airlines, what does it make you think of?
Most recently, I think of the video that went viral. Overbooked seats.
The video that went viral and overbooked seats.
Yeah.
Now, Marshall, you and everyone else at this point has seen the video that you are describing. In fact, hundreds of millions of people have actually seen this video.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. Let's talk about the story here, and then you can describe what you saw. What you saw with your own eyes via social media / news outlets. I don't know how you saw it. Maybe Sam just gave you a play-by-play. Maybe that's what it was. So if for some reason you've been living under a rock and you've not heard this story, here's the story. United Airlines had a flight out of Chicago to Louisville, operated by one of their partners, Republic Airlines. Why? Because Louisville isn't a big airport hub, so it wasn't like an official United flight. It was one of their partners. Needed a crew of four from Chicago to fly to Louisville so that crew of four could fly the 200 plus people out of Louisville that were waiting for the next connection. Here's the problem. They booked up all the seats. There were no seats in the plane. But they got to have this crew of four, they got to get them to Louisville. Otherwise, they're going to inconvenience 200, 250, 300 people that are trying to get out of Louisville. So they said, all right, we're going to do what we normally do. I'm going to give them some vouchers, offer, you know, $800, $1,000, travel to bump you off the flight, make you wait for another flight to Louisville. Here's $800, here's $1,000, whatever. Three out of four of the vouchers got claimed. One was still out there. One was still waiting. The rest of the people were like, nope, I'm going to Louisville. So they were like, all right, we got to pick someone to kick off this flight. We got to make it inconvenient for this one person. That way, we can make it work for the 200-plus people that are waiting for us. And they chose a man named Dr. Dow. I don't know if he's Chinese or if he's Japanese. I don't know. He's Asian. Asian man, Dr. Dow. He was the one that got selected. Dr. Dow did not want to leave. He did not want to leave the flight. Marshall, what was the next thing? What was the video that you saw? You don't even know any of this story yet when you saw the video the first time, most likely. Maybe you knew some of the story. What was the video that you saw? What would you describe happened?
He was being dragged off by the airline police. He was being pulled out of the plane.
Physically pulled?
Physically, yeah.
Was he like standing up and resisting and trying to like pull back, or what was he doing?
No, he was being dragged on the ground.
Dragged on the ground. As he was being dragged on the ground, was he like enjoying it? Was he having a good time? Was he kind of like smiling and like, man, this is actually fun?
No, not at all.
Was he like talking to people around him like, hey, man, I'm being dragged on the ground on a plane?
No.
What was he doing?
He was limp.
He was limp.
He was limp.
He looked like he was concussed. So the video that you see, right, because the news, you see it on the news, you see it on social media, whatever. The video you see is these airline cops, Air Cops 2. These airline cops are dragging this concussed dude off a plane. And then maybe you also saw him standing there with his face all bloody and stuff. Not a great look. Not a great look. You're like, oh, man. What happened? What did this guy do? What did this man do to deserve being dragged off his plane? He must be some sort of... He must have done something to somebody. Maybe he had a gun on him. Maybe... And the story comes out. United Airlines had overbooked the flight, so they drugged this guy off the plane. Marshall, what was your first thought? What was your first, you know, what went through your mind the first time you saw this video?
I thought it was pretty terrible.
Well, so did a lot of people. In fact, shares of United were down as much as 4% the next day. That's upwards of $950 million in market cap value after this video gets out. Somebody videos it, and they lose almost $1 billion in market cap value overnight. They've since settled it. They're going to be massively sued. They since settled outside of court. Who knows how much they paid the dude? You got to believe it affected bookings right away. Maybe not for the business guy who has to fly all the time, but at least for like the families that don't fly all the time, you got to think that they have a negative taste in their mouth of the brand United, right? Probably affected bookings to some point. And United turns into a massive joke for everyone else. And I've gone to the liberty of putting some of those memes on your sheet there. There's one with a nice lady in the plane, stewardess. Says, coffee, tea, or a savage beating? This is what the internet's saying about United. There's another one here. Says, it's got a picture of a United flight, right? Big letters. Says, United Airlines. If we need the seating, you'll get a beating. There's one that has the Southwest logo. Southwest. Underneath it says, we beat the competition, not you. This is what people are creating on the internet and sharing around and laughing at United about, right? My personal favorite, they had a seating chart. Seating chart? Up front. Some sort of United first, some sort of like, you know, first class. Then there's Economy Plus. Then there's economy. And then rows 12 through 23, it just says Fight Club. There's no seats. It just says Fight Club. Marshall, this all happened very quickly, like within a day or 2 days. Everything's going good for United. You know, they're probably worrying about their own stuff. Maybe it's hiring. Maybe it's the new policy. Maybe it's whatever. And then all of a sudden, they've got a firestorm of this going on. If you're United, if you're Team United, what are you thinking in this scenario?
You're thinking, hey, how am I going to have to respond to this? Because the masses are going to take to social media and the news and the media, and they're going to have to respond in a certain specific way.
Well, here's how they responded. Here is their official statement. They see the video. Which, the video is bad. The video is bad. They see the video. They put out a statement. It says, Sunday, April 9th, after United Express Flight 3411 was fully boarded, United's gate agents were approached by crew members that were told they needed to board the flight. Dot. Next bullet point. We sought volunteers and then followed our involuntary denial of boarding process, including offering up to $1,000 in compensation. And when we approached one of those passengers to explain apologetically that he was being denied boarding, he raised his voice and he refused to comply with crew member instructions. Next bullet point. He was approached a few more times after that in order to gain his compliance to come off the aircraft. And each time, he refused and became more and more disruptive and belligerent. Next bullet point. Our agents were left with no choice but to call Chicago aviation security officers to assist in removing the customer from the flight. He repeatedly declined to leave. Last bullet point. Chicago aviation security officers were unable to gain his cooperation and physically removed him from the flight as he continued to resist, running back onto the aircraft in defiance of both our crew and security officials. So United tries to respond with non-emotional, we did the right thing, he did the wrong thing, trying to prove the facts, this flight number on this date, we followed policies, we gave him this much money. All these non-emotional facts to prove why they were not in the wrong. What did the headlines read the next day, Marshall?
This headline says, United responds to crisis by calling the passenger disruptive and belligerent.
I'm United. I'm like, here's all the reasons why we are a stand-up company. Because we followed proper procedures, followed the policies that were created in our bylaws by our forefathers. And headlines just read, they called them disruptive and belligerent. What? Why is this a bad? Why is this a bad look for United here, Marshall? You've seen the video. You see how United responded. What's going on here?
Because a lot of people are holding United to blame, and United appears the way that it was interpreted by the populist vote is that United is assigning responsibility to the passenger.
Also, you know the whole, like, short attention span that most Americans / humans have? We're headline readers, right? We watch the 10-second video of the guy being dragged off the plane, and we assume we know exactly what went down. We're like, I know what happened. I saw the video. They concussed that man and dragged him off the plane. And then how does United respond? Calling him disruptive and belligerent. Ah, right? Like, there's no need for us to look into the story and read about it and find out what's going on. We mean, because we saw it. We saw the 8-second video. We know exactly what was happening, right? Do you feel like United responded very well here? Do you feel like they appropriately assessed the situation and saying, what kind of response is this going to give to people when they see this video? What are they going to be thinking about us and our brand and how we handle things? Or did they just say, nope, we're right. We did things the right way.
I think they responded the best they could in the time of a crisis. The one thing that I would have done differently is particularly outed the airline officer that was seen maybe more aggressively than necessary deplaning this man.
Well, in a letter from the CEO to the employees, it's got several things here. This is how the CEO, Oscar, CEO of United, responded. Part of his statement said, while I deeply regret this situation arose, I also emphatically stand behind all of you, and I want to commend you for continuing to go above and beyond to ensure we fly right. And also, treating our customers and each other with respect and dignity is at the core of who we are. We must always remember that this no matter how challenging the situation. Does this come off a little tone deaf here, Marshall? This is the letter from the CEO to the employee saying, we hate that it happened, but you did the right thing. I stand behind you. Why is that potentially bad for United? That's the look. Why is that potentially bad in like a immediate response sort of situation?
Well, you gotta, you know, Herb Keller, okay? Herb Keller takes of Southwest Airlines. He says that you got to take up for your employees whenever possible. Okay, you got to take up for your employees, and the customer isn't always right. Now, Sam Walton, he says the customer is the CEO because he can fire everybody from the CEO and the chairman of the board all the way down to the bottom employee. So you got to be conscious of these two things. You got to back up your employees in their actions, even when maybe they're not the actions that are the popular actions, but understand that if you don't have any customers, okay, even though you might have a crisis like this, I think United takes the blame. This Chicago Aviation Authority isn't a United entity. It's a separate entity, but United is going to take the heat for this because it was a United flight, and that's where people draw their attention. That's the headline that reads, is because it was a United flight. And so you got to be sensitive to what the media and what the masses are going to read and how they're going to react. And that's one of the things that I think you got to be very, very careful of as a CEO.
And I think you said it right. How are the masses going to react? How is everybody going to see this? And who are they going to automatically side with? They saw the video of the guy being dragged out. They're probably going to automatically side with that guy, as opposed to siding with United. So if you say, we did everything right, we did everything the way it should have been done, that comes off as like a very, like, not only did you already see the video, but you're making it worse. And in fact, he got blasted. He got blasted. He made the situation even worse. Marshall, any to bring it back to like a more local, regional, small business level, any instances of companies that you know of that, you know, have to deal with this sort of social media backlash or maybe a negative review or maybe a news story or anything like that and how they handled it?
Yeah, I would say that just about every business at some point is going to get some kind of bad review on Google or some kind of bad review on social media by the sheer nature of maybe somebody that's not an ideal and likely buyer ending up in your sales funnel. And when that happens, you have got to acknowledge the fact that they are dissatisfied with the service and move on. And that's why it's so important that you're continually getting those Google reviews for your business. So if somebody leaves you a bad Google review and you're not in the habit of proactively getting more and more Google reviews, that bad Google review is just going to sit there on your Google My Business page on your search term for your business, and that's what people are going to read. But if you're always in the habit of getting Google reviews every single week, over time, that bad review will become negated by all of the positive reviews that you're getting. But you have to be proactive about it because nobody on a regular level, nobody on a natural level is going to go write a good, positive Google review because that's just not the habit of the human nature. People aren't going to, on an ongoing basis, go review their favorite movie after they've watched it because it was such a good movie on Google. Nobody's going to go and just review maybe, oh, that restaurant was really, really good. I'm going to write a Google review. The people that by default go write Google reviews are people that are upset. And so once we understand that, I think that emphasizes the importance of writing, of getting those Google reviews on an ongoing basis.
And another point to take away from this here. Let's say you did have a company. Let's say you are the pants company. Marshall Morris Pants. You get your own brand of pants. Congratulations, buddy.
Pants.
And then maybe you get a bad review on Google, maybe Facebook. Maybe maybe someone has a YouTube video talking about how much they hate your pants. And you know that this person is crazy. It's identifiable that this guy, this gal, buying your pants is out of their mind, right? Which, by the way, this happens with Epic Photo clients occasionally. We know that, like, okay, this lady's a little bit crazy. Here's the exact timeline of how things went down. They're upset about this, but really, here's this and this and this and then this, right? So how do you respond to that negative review? Do you get on there and say, this person is crazy. Our pants are great. And how is the general public going to see that? Because we just talked about it. United responded with a, we didn't do anything wrong. And they got blasted. We did everything the right way. We did the right thing we were supposed to do. And they got blasted by people seeing the situation, right? If you are the company, the pants company, and I get on there and write a review saying how much I hate your pants, and you get on there and say, no, you're the idiot. You're the idiot with the pants. How is the general populace that might see these reviews, how are they going to respond?
Yeah, you got to be sensitive to the masses. You got to acknowledge how they're going to respond.
Because they're probably going to side with the consumer as opposed to the company, right? They relate more heavily with the person as opposed to the company. They see themselves more as the person, as the potential customer, the potential client, and not as the potential company Therefore, they're going to probably side with that other person, most likely. That's why negative reviews do bad things for your business. So, after all this, this is what United then backtracked and put out another statement. Third statement here. This one's another one from Oscar, the CEO. He says, and check out the difference in tone here compared to what we just were listening to. He says, "The truly horrific event that occurred on this flight has elicited many responses from all of us. Outrage, anger, disappointment. I share all those sentiments and one above all, my deepest apologies for what happened. Like you, I continue to be disturbed by what happened on this flight, and I deeply apologize to the customer forcibly removed and to all the customers aboard. No one should ever be mistreated this way. I want you to know that we take full responsibility and we will work to make it right. It's never too late to do the right thing. I have committed to our customers and our employees that we are going to fix what's broken so this never happens again. This will include a thorough review of crew movement, our policies for incentivizing volunteers in those situations, how we handle oversold situations, and an examination of how we partner with airport authorities and local law enforcement." Marshall, what was the tone of this one compared to the tone of the first two statements that they put out?
They definitely are beginning to address the underlying root of the problem. They understand that this is a bad event, but some of their systems and processes that are in place are what caused this problem to come to the surface and created a perfect storm of a situation. And so he's addressing that specifically. They're going to address the underlying root of the problem.
You know how if you're mad at somebody, let's say you get in an argument with somebody, you're mad at somebody, right? And I said, you did this and you did that and I can't believe you. And if you responded with a, no, I did everything right. I did it the right way. It's probably going to keep me upset, right? I'm probably going to be maybe even more mad. But if I say, I can't believe you, I'm so upset. And you're like, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry this happened. I'm very sorry you feel this way. I'm going to do better in the future. Isn't that going to take the edge off? Isn't that going to like make me think like, okay, these guys are humans too. Isn't that going to make me feel like not just upset at the world with you and your company?
Yeah, you gotta level with the person that's reading it.
So United, after putting out those first two, what I would describe as tone deaf sort of responses based on how the general populace, the people who are buying their airplane flights, purchasing their tickets, how they would respond to seeing the video, to seeing everything. And then they'd realize, oh, wow, we messed up. We messed up here bad and need to make another statement, put another statement out. And this time it was much more of the, hey, we're very sorry this happened. We're going to work on these systems so this never happens again. It's never too late to do the right thing. We're committed to making this better. They do that afterwards. In this next episode, because we're running out of time here, so we'll just go ahead and cut it off to this one. In this next episode, we'll not only talk about the Jack Welch winning Anatomy of a Crisis, but then we'll also talk about how Domino's responded to one of their viral videos going bad. Do you remember the Domino's video?
No, educate me.
Well, there's a reason you don't remember it, and we'll talk about that in the next episode here.
That's hot.
There you go. So what you can learn so far here is whenever something goes wrong, whether it is a legitimate like viral video crisis, or perhaps maybe it's just a negative review on one of your sites, you do have to respond, and you do have to respond knowing how other people are going to interpret your response. They're going to side with the customer most likely and not with the company. You have to know that going into it. Because they relate with the customer. They don't relate with the company. So knowing that is probably going to affect what tone you respond to them in a public forum. Now, maybe if it's a private phone call, maybe you can say whatever you want to say. But if it's a public forum, if it's a social media sort of encounter, you know, like, okay, other people are going to be watching these too, looking at this too. They're going to see how I respond to this. And they're probably going to judge what we do here at this company based on this response. That was episode 89. This one is talking about being Domino's instead of being United. We'll come back with episode 90 to finish off this series and talk about what Domino's did so well that Marshall doesn't even know about their negative viral video.
Whoa.
There you go. That's it for this episode. Over there on my left, Marshall Morris. Over here, Daniel McKenna. We'll see you next time for episode 90. Boom.